Hey everyone, welcome back to the Dreadful Dialogue, a podcast where we chat about all things war. My name's Elise. Today, of course, my wonderful co-host Kristen is with me.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We're reunited and it feels so good.
Yeah. I mean, to the listeners, it doesn't sound like a break, but we took kind of a spring break. So, you know, here we are, which kind of goes with our movie now that I think about it, because it's
exactly.
I don't know if they're on summer break or spring break, but they're on some sort of break. Or maybe I feel like it's the end of school, right? Because the girl says she's going to have an internship. Anyway.
Right.
It's a break, whatever. It's a school break and they're young adults. So before we tell the listeners the actual movie that we're going to watch, I want to ask you some questions, okay?
Yeah.
Let's do a little soul searching, and your answers are going to help me determine if you would be a final girl or an opening credits victim, okay, in this movie.
Oh, well, okay. I'm ready.
Okay. Does offense automatically mean you're on someone's property, or is it just a suggestion?
Somebody's property.
Okay. Would you ever pitch a tent in a random unmarked forest instead of a designated campsite?
No, and I would never go camping.
I grew up camping, and you know, I was in the military. Now I'm like a bougie camper. I'm like, I have a trailer. Like, I can't be going out in the middle of nowhere. Like, I can't do that.
I'm not built for the outdoors. Okay.
Okay. So you're going to move on. You're not just going to be an opening credits, you know, kill.
Good.
But let's say for whatever reason you do find a spot, okay, and you have to camp here and it smells like a rotting graveyard. Do you pack up or do you crack open a beer and party until 2 a.m.?
I am leaving immediately.
You're definitely surviving, because these are all the red flags that the characters in our movie that we're covering, they're just blowing through these red flags, okay?
Yeah.
You know, let's say you stay at this campsite, you party all night, you wake up. Do you go searching for that smell?
No, I leave.
And if your car breaks down, would you hop into a pickup truck filled with bloody animal carcasses just to get a ride to town?
No.
Yeah, I'd probably walk.
No.
I'm going to walk. I'm going to Chevrolet. I'm going to Batamobile.
Like, I'm not a stew nod. I just would not.
Yeah.
The whole time. Anyway.
Would you?
So you want to tell?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
You rub the snoop. Okay. A few more before we drop.
Yes.
Is it okay to snoop around a stranger's house?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Am I nosy? A little, but I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. And then if you realize, and this is going to help our listeners figure it out if they haven't figured out the movie, because this could be the plot of several movies, right? So horror has a lot of reoccurring storylines. If you walk into a public building and you realize the staff, quote unquote, are just mannequins, do you stay or do you take a selfie?
I'd be like, nah.
I probably would take a selfie before I booked it.
Yeah.
Okay. So our listeners couldn't probably take a selfie because this movie is taking us back to 2005. We are talking about the rated R movie, House of Wax. And notice this is 2005, so it's not the original. This is a remake.
This is an interesting one. I have a synopsis if you would like.
Yes, hit us with
it. One.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So in the 2005 horror film House of Wax, a group of friends on a road trip become stranded in the eerie, deserted town of Ambrose, Louisiana. They discover the town's attraction, Trudy's House of Wax, features terrifying, realistic wax figures, which are actually corpses coated in wax by local twins to create a tourist death trap.
Oh.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. I've driven through the towns and I'm like, that looks interesting, but I'm also like, I don't want to get murdered. I don't want to get hurt.
Right. Yeah. What was your first like impression when you saw this town?
It gave me the fact that it's like completely empty would give you the creeps, right?
Yeah.
That would be like eerie. Granted, the purveyors of the town, the brothers, again, spoiler alert, we're giving this away, and usually we're going to be jumping. Oh, yeah. They're luring people to this town, and then they're turning them into wax figures. And I guess maybe it wouldn't have been as eerie because it was eerie, but they got away with it because the guy's like, oh, we're at a funeral right now. And like, so maybe like the whole town was there. I guess that was like, that's how they were able to look past that red flag.
Right. But, and like the movie theater too. But yeah, this town was wild. I would not have stopped at all. No.
Or I would have just, when he offered them, because they're, you know, after they get lured there and they're trying to get a fan belt, I would have just taken, he was like, oh, I found a size. And he said it was a 16. He needed a size 15. I'm no mechanic. I would have just tried to make it work. Like, I'm going to take this one. Here's your cash. I'm out. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to your house. Yeah. Goodbye. Did you watch this in the movie theater?
I did. Really? I did.
Do you remember it?
Yeah, I do. I do remember it, but I forgot how much I really liked it and how long it is. It's like, this movie's almost 2 hours.
It is. It's really long. It felt long. It kind of drags at a few points. Like, I think they could have, the beginning of the movie, they kind of like dragged some of it out. It took a while to like, let's get to something now. But then it got really fun.
It did. I think it took until at least like the 35-minute mark for it to really start. And then, yeah, there were some other scenes where I'm like, this is a little too much. Like, it's dragging on. But the cast is good.
Yeah.
The cast is like total 2000s, like,
yes.
Royalty.
Yes.
We have, is it Alicia, right? Alicia.
Is it Alisa or Alicia? I never remember how to say her name.
I never remember. We're so sorry. Yeah. Cuthbert. Sorry, girl.
She plays Carly.
Yes, she's Carly. We have Chad Michael Murray as Nick, her twin brother. We have Brian Van Holt, who plays the evil twins.
Yeah.
And every time I looked at him, I'm like, you look like Michael C. Hall, Dexter.
Oh,
I'm like, why are you giving? It's like giving like Dexter vibes there.
See that?
Yeah. We have the amazing Jared Padalecki, and I've been rewatching Supernatural right now.
Oof,
so this was it. Like, this was hitting like the sweet spot. I'm like, oh, I'm getting my fix of like my 2000s.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
We have John Abrams, love him. He's a whole vibe. And Paris Hilton. Wow. The queen.
I have a story about when I saw this in the movie theater related to her.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah, there's some really good people. Oh, the creepy guy, pickup truck guy is what, Damon Harriman? I never heard of him before. And then Robert Richard. He has like an apostrophe in Richard, so I don't know how to pronounce that, but he plays Blake, and that's Paris's boyfriend.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff too. I think
he's
seen Friday Night Lights. I never watched it, but I thought I saw his name.
I thought he was.
The show, not the movie.
Yeah, the show.
I never watched a show. Everybody talks about how great of a show it was. Which, I mean, all of these.
Show.
A lot of these people were in shows. Lisa Cuthbert went on to do 24. Chad Michael Murray was in One Tree Hill. Now he's working
the Lifetime
Circuit. But yeah, I saw this in the movie theater, and it's funny because I saw it with Paul, with my husband, our producer, and this is when we like just started dating, and we're watching the movie, and I knew Paris was in it, and like I just had to hold it in because I kept wanting to yell her signature thing, and when she died, when she took like the she had the metal like what is it a metal pole that goes through her, like impales or goes through her, I yelled out, "That's hot."
That's hot.
Like the so whole funny. Movie theater like looks at me. And I'm just like covering my lap. And like I should have known Paul was a keeper when he put up on my shenanigans that early on watching a horror movie. So yeah, me and him were like reminiscing. He's like, yeah, I remember when we watched this one in the theater. I'm like, yeah, it was a fun one. She was such an icon of the 2000s. And
she was.
I think it was genius. I thought she did great. Like I thought she's not a bad actress. She's entertaining. They totally played up the whole camera aspect because Dalton's character is constantly with like a camcorder. Guys, I mean, this is early cell phones. I'm like Sidekick era, maybe. I'm not a cell phone expert. So he's got like the camcorder, and it's like a reference to her infamous tape. You guys, I'm not going to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tape,
but
her corn.
Yeah, her corn. There you go. We're going to call it corn ever since we covered
Troll 2.
Troll 2, yeah, with the infamous safe wannabe soft corn scene.
Yeah, soft corn.
But I thought loved it. And I love that she, like, she, even when they interview her about it, she still has, like, a great attitude. Like, yeah, it was fun. Like, she knew what she was hired to do. She knew they were using, they were going to tease about her thing, you know, about her video. But I thought they did it in the most respectful way that they could, considering, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're right. She does have a really good attitude. And what I love about Paris Hilton, and what I've, like, come to realize as I've gotten older, is like the reality star Paris Hilton is a character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I feel like seeing her shine in this role and like rewatching it as a 40-something-year-old woman, I'm like, you know what? Props to her. I like really enjoyed her so much more than I did back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
It does make sense. And I think about it too. I'm like, I would not want anybody to judge me from my 20s and some of my shenanigans. I'm thank goodness there were no, now we have cameras in our pockets and our cell phones. Yeah. Thank goodness there was none of those. I don't want some of my business out there. So I'm not going to judge her for like things she did in her 20s. Like, she's an adult now. She like advocates for a lot of things,
and she's a mom.
Yeah, I'm not into it. I'm not into her. I've never really seeked out her music, but yeah, I thought it was marketing. I guess there was a See Paris Die campaign, and I was trying to remember it. I kept reading about it, but I couldn't really recall it. So I can't go into details, but maybe our listeners know about it.
Yeah. So I remember like vaguely where they were like, Warner Brothers really played it up. And I remember like when they were playing up that she was going to be in the movie, I was wondering if they were playing it up like the Faculty did with Usher, when Usher literally was in the movie for 10 minutes, but he was on the poster.
Posters and everything,
Yeah. But they were made shirts that say See Paris Die. And like, there is like a whole cult following that was really into it. And because she was such an icon and she was very, very popular, this movie grossed over $70 million worldwide.
Wow. It had a pretty big budget too. If I recall, I saw $40 million, right? But you can see why it had that big budget for the effects. That town, they built that whole town in Australia. So we were talking about the cast, right? And
yeah,
I love this cast, and it wasn't so big. Sometimes with some of the teenage movies, you have so many, and I start to like mix them up.
Yeah.
I mean, we almost didn't need Dalton, but it was a good amount. It was just a good amount. So let's talk a little bit. I want to talk a little bit more about the storyline, just kind of,
yeah.
You know, this group of young adults, they want to go to they keep saying the big football game. I'm assuming like a college football game.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah. They're road tripping there. They end up really late. They decide to pull off instead of going to a hotel. They pull off the road. This is where some of our red flags start to kick in. They pull off on the road. They just set up a camp. So you don't know where you are. And then they start partying. Somebody shows up and flashes their lights at them. I would have left when that happened.
Absolutely.
And these guys were so mental. They were so dumb. They party so hard that they end up sleeping until 2:30 when they said they needed to wake up in the morning. I'm like, who could sleep in a tent that late? If you've ever gone tent camping, it gets hot in a tent. It was just this really convoluted. That's why I felt like it was too long. They could have just hurried up and got. They somehow end up on the side of the road. They get separated. The group of Paris Hilton, her boyfriend, and Dalton, their buddy, stay behind. Well, Jared Padalecki, which is Wade, and Elisa Cuthbert's character, Carly, hop in a vehicle with somebody to go get a fan bout. And that's how they end up in this town where the House of Wax is.
So yeah.
I'm sure I missed some details in there. That's when they run into this carcass area with all these dead carcasses. The guy they take a ride from is carrying around dead carcasses. But I just wanted to kind of put that out there to make a little more sense when we're getting to some of our scenes.
That guy, by the way, he was creepy AF, and he looked like he was roadkill himself.
Yeah, the roadkill. I don't even think they give him a proper name. I think they say Lester, right? I don't ever think they recognize him as Lester though. Maybe it's on his shirt. Does he have the mechanic?
Yeah, you know? I think he has some kind of work shirt. Yeah. I don't know. They never call him by his name, but he looked like roadkill himself. And I would not have gone within 10 feet of that man.
And I blame Wade for all of this. I blame Jared Padalecki, because his friends were like, look, let's just go. We'll come back. We'll go to the game. We'll come back for your car, which, spoiler alert, they never make it to the freaking game because they partied too hard in the woods. Sweetie woods. And then they get stuck in traffic and they turn around anyways.
You know, I'm with you.
Yeah, I would have gotten the guy's car. It was creepy.
No, and I blame Wade for every single thing that has happened. This is all of his fault.
Yeah.
So while I'm really sad that poor Jared Padalecki had to be killed, which was wild, by the way,
yes.
I feel like if we're reviewing the death scenes, I feel like that one was really effed up and really creepy.
They go and they show the whole process of how they turn him into wax. And then later, like his skin, is it his or Dalton's skin gets pulled off?
Ugh. It's hit. Dalton's like, I'm going to rescue you. And like peels off
skin.
Wade's cheek. And like, you see like the tears coming out of his eyes. Like he's still alive. Like, oh, Marona Mule. I would have been happy with like the pole through my head or like decapitated at that fucking point. Like, honestly, no, thank you.
Yeah, I thought that was the most brutal kill. The Paris Hilton one was fun. I thought she fought the hardest, even though she didn't actually survive. But I thought that was the most brutal kill. But yes, I blame Wade. He didn't make the decision to pull over and stay at the shady place, which I'm thinking that's how they lured them in. They probably messed with their car at night and took the fan belt.
Right.
They even took Dalton's camera because he wakes up in the morning. He's like, anybody see my camera? But when he got to that town, they could have avoided a lot. He wanted to snoop. He didn't want to just take the belt. He was all hyped to go to this house of wax. Like I said, there's some people into some there's some weird tourist traps out there. Right. Like the biggest ball of twine. If you're on your way to from where I lived at Vegas, there's the alien jerky store. There's these weird roadside things. But if you get the shady vibes, get out of there.
Right. Like, I would not have gone through somebody's house like that in a creepy town when Mr. Roadkill brought me there. Like, no.
Yeah.
No, thanks. So, yeah, we blame Wade. Sorry, Wade.
Yeah.
You deserve it now.
I'm giving Jared Padalecki the L on this one. I think he caused the demise of himself, Dalton, and eventually Paige and Blake, because, again, they went ahead. Yeah. But they go camping and they try to get frisky and then, they still get killed too. So,
yeah. Blake was pissed off because he was trying to, like, get it on with Paige. Mm-hmm. And his music kept getting interrupted and that's what killed him. He was like, oh, my iPod mini shuffle isn't working.
He had all the tech, girl. He had the GPS unit that got them. That he found this cool shortcut, which was not a great shortcut. It ended up they ended up camping.
Yeah. You know, he's kind of to blame too.
Yeah. Okay. In retrospect, okay. All right. I'm not gonna. It just, you know, I think it was Wade's attitude. And it was so hard to hate on him because, like you said, you're a Supernatural fan. I'm a big Supernatural fan. It was hard to see him that way. Show. You know, I'm used to kicking butt and like defeating demons and things, but
he was extremely stubborn, but I still love him and he's epic and a legend.
What did you think about some of the like body horror, right? We had Achilles tendon. Of course, we talked about the face being ripped. Carly's fingers when she's sticking her fingers through the grate because they've hidden her underground and Bo's put a super glue on her lips and she's trying to scream that because her brothers now come looking for her.
Right.
And they take, I don't know if it's pliers or I'm not a tools person.
It was like pliers.
Wire cutters and he just cracked me and broke her nails. Like, oh, like why does that kind of horror hit different versus you could see somebody driving and they get hit and like their head gets chopped off and you're just like, whatever. But like these close-up body horrors, like why do they hit so different?
So basically, the way I see it is like there hasn't been a person who hasn't had a cut on the back of their ankle or their kid ran them over with a shopping cart or you jam your finger, you close it in a drawer, et cetera, et cetera. So we know what that pain is already, but seeing it like really be gory and basically defeat a person, you know what I mean? It makes it real.
Yeah.
You know,
we know how that pain feels. We're not going to know if we get beheaded. That's we're not going to feel that.
Yeah.
Right. Or if we get impaled, we'll die instantly. So, you know, that isn't as, I mean, it is intense, but seeing stuff like that, it really grossed me out. And I was eating my lunch when I was watching this.
Don't watch Hostel then.
Yeah, right? Hostel
or some of the Saw movies are that way. This was also thinking about the movie. This is a huge thing in 2000s movies, right? It's when a Hostel came out, I think, in 2000. Saw came out in the 2000s. There was body horror movies before, but mainstream ones. You could find some really horrible, gory, basement-looking movies that were out there, but they weren't put in the movie theaters for people to watch.
Exactly. Yeah.
When they get her finger, I'm like, oh my God, my finger hurts. Like, yeah. Right. So if you want to see some, and they're like close up when they do these. So it made it interesting.
And I looked it up and it's actually called the sensory mirror effect, where it's like when they do little things like that, the finger, the Achilles, to give, it's like cringe gore or intimate kind of trauma gore or whatever. Yeah, to make it more personal. And that Achilles tendon though, going back to that real quick, I know that pain because last year I went
I'm already covering my mouth before you're telling the story.
Or no, it wasn't last year, the year before in 2024, I went to go see Green Day with my friend. And, you know, I'm old and I shouldn't be in a mosh pit, but I was. And
nice.
From jumping up and down because I'm old and not built for athletics, I didn't tear it, but I strained my Achilles tendon so bad that I had to be in a brace for 3 weeks and I could barely walk. So just that minor injury alone almost took me out. So I was having flashbacks. I was like, oh no.
Oh my God.
But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, yes. I don't think I've ever hurt my Achilles. I have a hand injury. I won't go into details. Like, my hand got crushed by something at work and it still doesn't function properly to this day. So I have sympathy when I see people with things that happen to their hand. My brother always teases me from the movie Casino where they smushed the guy's hand. He's like, look what they did to my hand. He's like, is that what you said, sis, when it happened? I'm like, fucking Adam, my brother.
I mean, like, honestly. You would say that.
I guess it's like when you stub your toe, like when you see somebody stub their toe with their funny bone, you were even like, oh man, that sucks. Even though it's not going to kill you, if these things actually could kill you, you could bleed out from these.
I know. There's arteries and shit there, you know?
Have you actually seen the original House of Wax?
No.
Yeah,
I didn't either.
I read a lot of details about it because I wanted to see if it was close to the original. And everything that I read, it's other than there's a guy that makes wax figures and he's making some of them out of people. It's completely different from what I understand.
Right.
But I want to tell the listeners, and I know you haven't seen the movie Tourist Trap, and I covered that movie on the podcast. You should watch the movie Tourist Trap, okay? I feel like this movie, the House of Wax remake, is a remake to Tourist Trap. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Tourist Trap is kind of a mix of the original House of Wax with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which just has a little bit of Texas Chainsaw Massacre vibes, right? But I feel like this is actually a true remake to that movie. And I'm very curious. I couldn't find any info about the inspiration from the writer, the director, or anything, but I'd love to hear people's thoughts on that. Go watch the movie Tourist Trap if you haven't seen it. It's from the 70s. And it's the same concept, only instead of there being evil twins luring them, supposedly there's only one guy that's luring them in. And me and my buddy that came on, we were trying to decide, we're like, was it only one guy? He says he killed his brother, and did that make him go crazy and start doing that? Was he multiple personality? It's kind of ambiguous, but they don't flat out say that there's two of them, but it is the same concept of their siblings and they're in this town and they're luring people and they're luring hot young people. And it's from 1979. And like I said, I covered it on the pod and it was funny because it was one of those movies I loved watching it and I found it so funny. And then after covering it, I'm like, oh my God, that almost ruined it for me because then I got too analytical. What was going on with this guy? Where
right.
This one, we get a definitive, like, why the twins are the way they are. Like, we find out they were conjoined twins. One was disfigured, and he's the one that he's into making the wax figures because his mom would make wax figures. And to him, it's like his art, right? He's bringing these in. Mm. And even his brother's like, I'm the next ones. I got you. These are really good. They're going to make it. I don't remember what he's. It's going to be a masterpiece.
a masterpiece.
Along those lines.
Speaking of the twin that was disfigured, when he would roll up with his wig on, didn't it kind of give like psycho vibes? Mm-hmm. Like
Psycho
Norman Bates?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
North Trap has psycho vibes as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Also, going back to that guy, the one twin.
The bad one. Vincent, as in Vincent Price.
Vincent Price. Yes.
House of Wax. Anyway, okay, sorry.
Yes. No, that's okay. When his face is cracking and he just heats up a spoon and he's like,
yeah, he's taking a hot spoon and he's just, let me fix. He was like, hey, but you know, he needed to help out the bitches from Death Becomes Her when they're all hot and messy. They're all messy at the end.
Right.
Home, look, girl, just some wax with the spoon.
So hilarious. I was like, this is so gross. I'm like trying to eat my lunch. I'm like, no.
Yeah, it was
that grossed me out too.
Though. Even though his face was kind of blank, it was, they did good making him look scary. And they wouldn't always show him full on. They kind of showed him in shadows at times, and it made it still scary.
Yeah, no, I agree. Ooh.
But I love this is another thing I thought about. I'm like, he did really good at making the town, like, everything moving. I'm like, did they steal that idea from Home Alone? Remember when Kevin, he's walking around the Christmas tree, and he's holding onto the things, making the mannequins move, because there's the old lady mannequin looking out the window. I mean, even the little puppies. Are they puppies, right? Are they puppies?
They were puppies in the window of a pet store. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, I was like, this is Home Alone-esque stuff right here.
Hell yeah, that was so cool. The effects in this movie were really interesting.
Yeah,
I felt like, because I didn't see the, you know, Tourist Trap, this was like a whole new kind of, like, at the time when I watched this in 2005, I was like, this is a whole different kind of special effects and makeup and things like that, which was really cool. And I thought it was very creative how they did that.
Yeah, I thought the effects were cool. I'm pretty sure I don't have anywhere to verify it, but I would assume that's where a lot of the budget went, with the fire and the melting wax. It looked pretty realistic. Again, I'm not an expert on effects, but I thought it was cool. There's nothing like that in Tourist Trap. There's no big fire. But it was cool. I read that they used predominantly peanut butter for the wax. So that was like mostly what it is. It was like to make it, I don't know how do you say that word?
Viscosity.
There you go. That word that you're saying. Yeah. They give it viscosity and they get the right meltiness that they needed. That it was mostly peanut butter that they use, which I would have probably gagged because I can deal with a little peanut. I eat a little bit of peanut butter, but I'm one of those people, I don't slather it on my sandwiches. I just use a little bit.
same. I'm exactly the same. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think it was like paraffin treatment or anything, you know?
I know. That's what it made me think of, like, when I used to go to therapy for my busted hand. They put your hand in this paraffin wax, right? Oh, you see?
Yeah.
Take it off because it warms your hand up so much so I could do, like, my movements. But I didn't even think about paraffin wax.
You go get a manicure, like in the early 2000s. They love that so much. I remember getting it, be like, oh, yay.
I know. When I would leave, I was like, my one hand was all soft and the other one was all rough.
exactly.
I did my one hand.
Yeah, that was so funny. That's what I was thinking. I was like, is this paraffin?
Yeah.
Could you imagine? That'd be the whole budget just on paraffin treatments for the cast.
They'd all have great skin.
They would. Even if they're dead in the movie theater, you know? Totally worth it.
Yeah.
So funny. What did you think about this soundtrack?
Oh my God, you read my mind. I was just going to ask you. It was pretty cool. It was very 2000s. There's a lot of, again, very 2000s, like the velour tracksuit.
Yes.
The low-rise jeans. Oh. Thank goodness those are pretty much gone. I'm too old for low-rise. I was never into them when they were around. But you couldn't find anything else but them. I thought it was cool. There was some Deftones. Was there Manson? I can't remember who else.
Yeah, I have a list.
Okay.
It was Prodigy featuring Juliette Lewis.
Okay.
My Chemical Romance, Deftones, Disturb, Shutterfly, Blood Simple, Marilyn Manson, The Stooges, The Von Bondies, Harmar Superstar, Joy Division, and Dark New Day.
Ooh, I don't remember Joy Division being there.
Okay. Yeah, Joy Division. Yeah, it's New Dawn Fades.
Okay. That one.
Yeah, and this movie opens with Deftones. And mm-hmm. Fun fact, Deftones were my first concert when I was 16.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, yeah. Oh, I love, they're so good.
I know who they are. I love them. Yeah. I'm trying to think if I've ever seen, I went to so many shows in the 2000s in my 20s where I live. They just had a huge rave in San Bernardino. They have whoever the one guy is that does like all the big raves now, Pasquale Rotelli. I'm probably butchering his name. The guy that used to be married to Girls Next Door. Oh my God, I'm going off on a weird tangent. The Wonderland Tour, he puts those ones on in Vegas and now here. And we have a venue that's really known for having those. And I used to, they also have concerts and shows. So I could be living in SoCal. Like there's constantly shows in I don't live far from San Diego, Palm Springs, LA. So yeah. I'm like, did I see the Deftones? Because I go to a lot of festivals. I used to go to Coachella when it was affordable, which is happening this weekend.
Oh, wow.
How much it is. I'm like, I look at the prices. I'm like, yeah, right.
Yeah. I saw them at Asbury Convention Hall. Mm-hmm. And the ticket was $15.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? You could have, that doesn't even cover the beachy Ticketmaster fees now. Like,
I know. Ridiculous. It's wild. Yeah. So when I still listen to them. And when I heard them, Minerva, at the opening, I was like, oh,
yeah. Memories. Nice. That's a cool so concert. It's all Boyz II Men.
Did you?
Boyz II Men, Aaliyah, and TLC. Yeah.
Oh, I really liked TLC. Yeah, I do too. I like a lot of music, but yeah, this soundtrack was so good. And My Chemical Romance is peak early 2000s, with the tight jeans and the swoop hair. And Jared Padalecki's hair was terrible in this movie.
Oh,
by the way,
yeah, speaking of hair, it was terrible. I mean,
it was so
bad. It took a while in Supernatural to get it correct too. I mean, before.
Yeah, I'm on season 4 and it's still not there. It's a work in progress. But yeah, another thing I wanted to bring up, I thought it was interesting that Chad Michael Murray was cast in this movie because he was in teen movies and shows, but always very drama and will the girl get the guy kind of type of movie. So this was interesting seeing him in a role like this.
Yeah, he was trying to be like a bad boy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know, he came up like a wannabe to me, but it was cool. I think he was trying to break out of his other type of roles, so.
Well, if that furthers my point, because at one point, he's like really trying to act like a badass, and I verbally said, sit down, Timu Eminem, like, come on.
That's a good way to put it.
His head shaved, and he's blonde, and I was just like, no, okay. Go back to One Tree Hill and cry over your girlfriend breaking up with you.
Yeah, okay? I don't think I ever watched One Tree Hill. I think I wasn't around for that one. I mean, I remember seeing the
stuff,
but yeah. It was weird. He didn't come off to me as the bad guy that he supposed to have been. Like, he just got out of jail or something. And I was like, yeah, whatever. He came off like a wannabe, but that was a perfect way to put it.
Exactly.
Eminem. Oh, my God.
That's exactly what he was. I was just like, you're not doing it for me with your bad boy vibe. He could never be Zeke from The Faculty. He can't be that level of bad boy. It was interesting seeing him in a role like this, but I felt like it was very gimmicky for him.
Mm-hmm. And I get it, because some actors try to do that. They're typecast in the same role so much that they're like, let me show I have these other chops. But now, like I said, he's working the Lifetime movie. I think
exactly. Bad Christmas
movies. He's come full circle. He used to be.
The drama, and then he tried to do the horror badass thing, and now he's back to worse drama.
Yeah.
So wild. But yeah, that was so funny. I don't think I ever watched One Tree Hill, but I did watch Gilmore Girls with Jared Padalecki.
I know. I've never watched it. I hear it's like for women, it's like an addicting show. They're like, once you start watching it, I'm like, nope. nope, I don't have time. I have enough gothic. I have enough horror movies to watch.
Exactly.
On right now.
Right, right.
Did you like the twist? Funny. We were talking about the creepy driver going back to him that they hitched a ride with, and he drops him off, and that's it. Or they don't even take him the whole way. Don't they eventually finally get the bad vibes and they hop out?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we find out at the end, right? Because essentially everybody gets killed. Paris Hilton gets killed. Her boyfriend gets killed. Dalton gets killed. The only two to really survive. We don't have a final girl. We end up with final boy and girl, final twins, which I crack up because I didn't even remember that they're twins and twins, right? They're insinuating there's right. a bad twin and a good twin between Chad Michael Murray and his sister, Carly, right? So Nick and Carly.
Yeah.
They're insinuating Nick is the bad one. He's the Timu Eminem, as you called him. She's the good one. She's got this internship that she's going to go to. So they're insinuating they're bad and good. But in the end, there's these other two twins, and this kind of they're playing it off like one is good initially, right? He's just helping out.
Yeah.
He's helping him out. He's going to give him a fan belt. But really, they're both bad. So we have these two right. twins. They're playing off of that. We have the bad twins. But then at the end, we get the twist after they survive. They set everything on fire. They kill the bad twins. The good twins survive. They're in an ambulance. And then they find out, they hear the cops saying like, man, we wouldn't have even found you. We didn't know this town has been here. It's been here for years. And I'm paraphrasing, of course. Right, the only right. reason we found you guys was all these billowing flames because they started this fire. And then they're like, but wait a minute. There was a third brother. And then that's when they drive by in the ambulance and you see the roadkill driver. And he's just like, hi. He's just like all waving at him.
See
like,
y'all later.
Yeah, he's just like, let me give you a little wave. You guys are lucky you survived. It was like, oh, snaps. There was a third brother. So I thought it was a fun twist. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I kind of assumed he was related somehow, but I was like, okay, he's a brother, but where was he in the beginning? So I guess he was the younger brother.
Maybe. Youngest? I don't Maybe? Think they don't show him in the flashback probably because the beginning of the movie opens up with a flashback scene.
Right,
we're seeing
right.
the brothers when they're little, and we're seeing the one brother, again, they're playing it up. The one brother's calmly eating like his cereal, and the other one's like, and they have to strap him into
his high chair.
High chair, yeah. It was like, they were intense. Mean to him. Granted, he was a piece of work, but I don't know if he deserved to get treated the way he was getting treated.
No, that was so sad. Yeah, I like that twist. I thought it was cool. I kind of assumed he was related somehow, but if you don't think about it too much, yeah, it works. He was the brother. You know,
yeah, I'd like if you don't about, think about I'd forgotten it about much. That character because it'd been a couple years since I watched it. So when I rewatch it, it's off the end, I go, oh yeah. Like that, even if you could argue you could leave it open for a sequel, but I don't think they need a sequel. I thought this was just like a nice, fun. It's not a fantastic movie. It's not a bad movie. I think I'm a huge, like, that's my favorite genre. I just love slashers because that's how I got into horror, right? We grew up with Jason and Freddy and Michael Myers. Yeah. It's a fun slasher. Yeah.
I agree. I really enjoyed it. If I were to rate it up 1 to 10, I'd probably give it a 7.
Yeah, I think I'd probably give it like an 8. I think the only thing, my only biggest qualm with it is it was a little too long. They could have cut out like we didn't need the cafe or the diner scene. It's like there was character development that we didn't really need. It was like they're friends, let's move on and get to the camping.
Yes. Yeah, I felt like that took forever, and that's why I gave it a 7. I'm just like the almost 2 hours is way too much for a movie like this.
Yeah, I'm always gratuitous on my scores though because I just love scary movies.
No, I mean I do too. But yeah, it was fun. I really enjoyed it. I forgot how much I liked this movie.
Yeah,
you know, it was really great rewatching it and going back to my emo days. You know.
I feel like Love Joe Bob right now. I'm like wearing my Monster Vision shirt. And look, I got to show you. Look at my monster, my toy. Paul got me this for my birthday. So you can see it on video. If you're a fan of Joe Bob Briggs, shout out to him on Shudder. He's leaving Shudder. They had the last drive-in. He's got a few specials. And then I think he's getting picked up by another network. But I love this toy. He's like glow in the dark. I'm wearing your shirt. I sent you a shirt for your birthday. You got to wear it.
Yes. Yes. And you sent me this shirt for my birthday too, and thank you so much.
Yeah.
I love Scream, one of my favorite movies ever. So I really appreciate that.
I thought you'd like it.
Yeah. I love it.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think anything else?
It was good times.
Yeah. Yeah. Check it out, guys. I think it's a fun watch. Like I said, it's a bit long, but it's definitely a fun slasher.
Yeah, definitely. And Wade Wade is to blame.
He needed his brother with him.
Right?
The Jensen Ackles.
Yes.
I really love.
I love Jensen Ackles. He's a whole mood. He's so funny. Yeah. Yeah, this was so much fun. I'm really glad you picked this one. So that brings us to the end of today's episode. If you enjoyed listening, the best way to support the show is by subscribing and leaving us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps more people discover the show. You can also follow us on Instagram and visit our website. Links are in the show notes. If you'd like to support the podcast even further, you can donate to our Buy Me a Coffee Fund. Your support helps keep the show going and means more to us than you'll ever know. And most importantly, thank you so much for spending your time with us and listening to our shit talk here.
Yeah, our shenanigans. Yeah.
For shenanigans, yeah.
We hope our dialogue wasn't too dreadful for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, with that, everybody, thank you guys again for listening and have a good one.
Bye.
Avoid peanut butter. I'm going to go get my paraffin wax on now.
Yeah. Get your paraffin done.
There we go.
Bye.
Bye.